The Lord be with you. Thank you. I'm Pastor Jan Unger, in case some of you don't know me. And I'll be leading the service tonight. The other pastors are off here, there, and I think Pastor Steve might have served you your fish fry dinner tonight if you went to that. So, the hymn after the sermon is going to be new to many of you. And there is a misprint in your bulletin. It tells you to sing the refrain after each verse, but in fact, we will sing the refrain at the very beginning and the very end, and not in between all the verses. Tammy is going to play the hymn all the way through before we ever start to sing it, so you'll kind of get the gist. It's an ancient French melody, and it's written in a minor key, so it's kind of a haunting melody. Now, you all have an index card in your bulletin. That is not for the purpose of handing, to a child to draw pictures on. And it's not for making a paper airplane and shooting it at me if you don't like the sermon. I will give you instructions on what to do with it during the sermon. We have a barbecue chicken drive-through on Sunday, tomorrow, at 11 until sold out. The drive-through only is in the east parking lot. That side? That's east? Yeah, okay. And the suggested donation is $15 per plate. This will benefit the youth of Holy Ghost. We are putting together a men's ensemble again to sing for Mother's Day. So any man of any singing level is invited to rehearse on the dates listed in the insert. So please, do it for your wife, your mother, your whatever. The Global Leadership Summit early bird registration continues. Details about that are also in your insert. And next Sunday at 10:30 is our confirmation service, where 14 youth will reaffirm their baptism and share a part of their faith journey. So, now let us rise for the confession as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, God reminds us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God does forgive our sins, and as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have celebrated with joy the festival of our Lord's resurrection. Graciously help us to show the power of the resurrection in all we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let me find my stuff here. It's too bad there's just one of you. Oh, good, we have two. All right. Hi there.
I'm shy.
Yeah, I bet. If you could ask Jesus one question, what would it be?
How was it like to die on the cross?
Wow. How was it like to die on the cross? That would be a good one. Okay. Do you have an answer for me? No, you're shy. Okay. Okay. We've never really seen Jesus like the disciples did, and we don't necessarily hear his voice. But Jesus breathed on his disciples and reminded them and us that we all have the breath of God in us, and we share that breath, which is the Holy Spirit, everywhere we go, every time we breathe. Well, Thomas, one of the disciples, wasn't with the rest of the disciples when Jesus came on Easter night. And they told Thomas that Jesus had come, and he had some questions about that. So Jesus doesn't mind if we have questions, even questions about what we should believe and stuff like that. But Jesus knew that Thomas would have questions, so he actually came to Thomas the next week to talk about those questions. And so he told the disciples and us that we're sent out to share his love, to talk about our questions together, and to look for Jesus everywhere we go. Everywhere around us. So even though we can't see Jesus like the disciples and eventually Thomas did, Jesus still gives us ways to show how much he loves us and is with us always, whether we're asking questions or wondering about things. Jesus said to look for him in the bread and wine when we have communion. And he knows that if we eat and drink of this bread and this wine, we will be filled with what we need to be his hands and feet in the world. And in the water of baptism, we know that Jesus says we belong to God forever, no matter what. Jesus wants everyone to know what God really wants is for us to, what God wants is to love us and to be with us, even when we wonder if God is real or what God is doing. Let's say a prayer, and I'll have you repeat after me. I'll do like Daniel does. Our hands we fold, our heads we bow. It's time to talk to God right now. Dear Jesus, help us to know that you are here with us. And to share that great news with everyone around us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Thanks. You having a good time? That's great. Okay, now we have a gospel song. Stay seated. It's a long gospel.
Pastor Unger, I do not have an introduction tonight.
No, you don't.
Okay. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Christ, our hope and our Redeemer. Amen. As most of you know, phobia is a fancy word for extreme fear. Some people have an irrational fear of a specific thing, fear that's out of proportion to any actual danger. Agoraphobia, for instance, is the exaggerated fear of being in large, open, public places, even a place like this nave. Claustrophobia is the exaggerated fear of being in small, closed-in places, like a cave or a closet. Acrophobia is the excessive fear of high places. My palms always start sweating when I see or read about someone free climbing a rock wall face or walking a tightrope across a deep valley. Fear does not usually go to such extremes in our lives, but living in fear is really not living at all. Yet it was the only life the disciples had following the Lord's crucifixion. They were in grief. They were in shock. And they had every reason to believe that the Jewish officials would soon round them up to face their own trials and death because of their association with Jesus. They were afraid, so they were huddled together inside a locked room. Inexplicably, the risen Jesus came into that room and said, "Peace be with you." In other words, stop being afraid. Chill out. All is well. He showed them the proof that it was really him, his hands and his side, the marks of his crucifixion. Suddenly, their fears vanished into thin air, and they were filled with gladness. Do you remember how God gave life to Adam in Genesis? He breathed into his nostrils. So here, Jesus breathes on the disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, you have to understand that in biblical Greek, the word for spirit is the word for wind, is the word for breath. Jesus didn't just give out a big sigh. He intentionally breathed on them. Receive Holy Spirit, holy breath, his breath, the breath of God. The disciples took a whiff of that fresh air and received new life. What an encounter. Just days before, their leader and friend had died before their eyes in the most unimaginable way possible. A crucifixion death so cruel that it was reserved for the worst of criminals. With Jesus, their leader, gone, they had no direction, no way forward. Sure, some of the women followers had reported seeing him resurrected in the garden that morning. But who can trust the word of a woman, right? At least that's how they thought at the time. Now, however, Jesus comes to them in their fear and distress and proves irrefutably that he is alive again. The wonder and grace of that. Now, as you know, Thomas wasn't with the rest of the disciples that night. Poor Thomas, who gets such a bad rap for doubting. I'm not so sure he's the only one. The others were, after all, hiding away, completely unsure of their future. Without their asking, Jesus shows up, shows them his mortal wounds, so they knew he was resurrected. When the others told Thomas they had seen Jesus, he was skeptical. You know, kind of the way the disciples were skeptical of the women earlier that morning. Thomas told them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe." Well, if you're going to discount Thomas for saying that, you're going to have to write off all the residents of the state of Missouri as well. Thomas was just the forerunner of the Show Me state. But does it strike you as strange that Jesus didn't appear to Thomas later that night or early the next morning? Thomas had to wait a full week to meet the risen Lord. The next first day of the week, that is Sunday, is when they all gathered again. And of course, the door was still locked. Already, they are making a pattern of worshiping the Lord on the day of the resurrection rather than the Sabbath. And already, Jesus is making a pattern of showing up among his followers when they come to worship him. He is here now. Today is the day when Thomas came to believe that Jesus is risen, 1 week after Easter. He no doubt spent the past week racked with doubt and yet entertaining the hope that it was true. Maybe you know someone like Thomas. Think about this. Every week in worship, we confess that the creator of the vast cosmos also created human life and knows each one of us by name and the number of hairs on our head, and cares deeply about our ups and downs, our hopes and dreams, and all the rest. This confession, the Apostles' Creed, is quite literally incredible, that is, unbelievable. And yet we come together, and in hearing the word and partaking of the sacraments and joining with those around us in prayers and hymns, we come to believe and we have our belief reinforced. Thomas doubted the truth of the gospel, but he came to believe. His friends did not abandon him, but made sure he was with them the next time they gathered. They didn't spend their time arguing with him or disagreeing with him, but gave him the freedom to express his doubts, to own them. Sometimes faith is like that. It needs the freedom to question and to wonder before it can really take hold and spring forth. Now, doubt is not the opposite of faith, as some would have you believe, but sometimes a part of it. True, vibrant faith comes from the freedom to question and wonder. Look where it led Thomas. He makes the most profound confession of faith contained in the New Testament. He calls Jesus my Lord and my God. This is the scandal of Jesus. He's widely recognized as a wise, compassionate, gifted prophet. But is he God? Remember the very first chapter of John's Gospel? That's the assertion John makes. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. And the Word was not only with God, but the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus wasn't just a very good man. He was God. And here, after the resurrection, Thomas makes the same claim, a claim based on his renewed and vigorous faith. My Lord and my God. Upon this confession, Jesus answers Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus knew about us, you see, all the generations that would be born later. Would they occasionally have doubts? You bet. What are your doubts, your questions about the faith and about the Bible? Did God really create the earth and the universe, or did it just happen? Did creation take 7 days or millennia? Was Jesus really conceived by the union of Mary and the Holy Spirit? How is such a conception possible? Can Jesus really have died and overcome death and been resurrected? This does not compute with the rules of science as we know them. Most all of us wonder about such things at some point in our lives. What are you wondering about or doubting today? I invite you to write them down on the 3x5 card in your bulletin. Then place them in the offering box. You don't have to sign them, okay? But I'd like to know what those doubts and ponderings are. Now, don't expect the pastoral team to answer each of your questions, but it might happen. And we will put the prayer team to the task of praying over them. So write down your doubts, your questions, and leave it in the offering plate. Just know that God is big enough to withstand your doubts, your questions, your skepticism. He's not offended or worried about you. He does not write you out of the book of life for wondering. All is well. He has grace sufficient to bless your doubts and bring your faith to full expression. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I love the way John concludes this passage. It is written directly to us, this worshiping community, and all the others like us. Now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Amen. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Now we have our sending song, Thine is the Glory. Thank you. is the glory, risen, conquering Son. And this is the victory thou, O death, hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave close where thy body lay. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. Lo, Jesus meets thee, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets thee, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with them hymns of triumph sing. For the Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is